Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers. It's a crash course for the Ravers. Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Just before the music begins. Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Vin Maganzini. It's 4:03 Saturday, January 26th, 2019. And I'm very glad that the federal workers are working again. I hope you are working and working hard. How's it going, everyone out there? Federal workers never should have been out of work. It's quite the shame. It's stupidity, that's what you could call it. This is Vin Maganzini. I'm telling you like it is, and if you want to call up and tell me what it is and what it's like, call me at 855-915-9636. Daniel Kimmel will be calling in just a little bit to talk about his new book. It's called Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. Again, it's Daniel Kimmel. He'll be calling in, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We're going to start the show in just a minute. Right now, here's a PSA, and then I'll be back to talk to you more about what's on today's program. Got it?
Yes, I got it.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
And your friends right here on WMFO. And right now, we're going to start off the show with a song by good old Sleepy John Estes. This is a classic, and if you've never heard of him, well, you're in luck. Here he is, right here, starting today's show off. This is Acoustic Sailing, and this is WMFO Medford.
Wednesday morning, like the golden rays again. Now I'm lying here on a Thursday and you're loving someone new. And it looks like I'm up Shit Creek again. And I can't help but thinking of your loving ways. And I've cried a quart of tears since you've been gone. And I can't face the morning by myself, love. And it looks like I'm up Shit Creek again. Since you've been gone, I cry all the time. And I cannot stand leaving you behind. So I'll pull myself together and I'll tears, but the morning light has brought back memories, and I can't face the morning by myself, love. And it looks like I'm up Shit Creek again. And so I'm out of walking this dusty highway, 'cause you've given me no reason for to stay. And I'll walk until I find someone who loved me not in vain. And it looks like I'm up Shit Creek again. And it looks like I'm up Shit Creek again.
Wake up, mama, turn your lamp down low. Wake up, mama, turn your lamp down low. Have you got the nerve to drive Papa Mactel from your door? My mama, daddy left me reckless. My daddy left me wild. Mother, daddy left me reckless. Daddy left me wild. No, I'm not good looking, but I'm some sweet woman's angel child. She's a mighty mean woman, do me this away. She's a mighty mean woman, do me this away. When I leave this town, pretty mama, I'm gonna wait to stay. Why to love the woman better than anyone I'd ever seen? I once loved a woman better than I'd ever seen. Treated me like I was a king and she was a doggone queen. Sister, tell your brother. Brother, tell your auntie. Now, auntie, tell your uncle. Uncle, tell my cousin. Now, cousin, tell my friend. Going up the country. Mama, don't you want to go? May take me a fair brown. May take one or two more. Big 80 left Savannah, blowing and did not stop. You oughta saw that color farmer when he got them ball of hot. You can reach over in the corner, mama, and hand me my traveling shoe. You know by that I've got them Statesboro blues. Mama, sister got them, auntie got them, brother got them, friend got them, I got them, woke up this morning, we had them stays burp blue. I looked over in the corner, Grandma and Grandpa had them too.
Nobody can sing the blues like that man. That's Blind Willie McTell with Statesboro Blues right here on WMFO. A quick rundown of some of the songs. I'll do a full one at the end of the program. We started today's show off with Sleepy John Estes with The Girl I Love. She's Got Long Curly Hair. Then it was Tom Waits with an early song called I Want You from the Early Years, Volume 2. And then we heard Tom Waits, Looks Like I'm Up S Creek again from the Early Years, Volume 1. And of course, that was Blind Willie McTell with Statesboro Blues. And we're going to smash through the acoustic ceiling right about now. You ready for it, folks? Here it is. It's time to smash through the acoustic ceiling. And we got Daniel Kimmel coming on the air. And welcome to the program, Daniel Kimmel. Here he is in just one second. Okay, you're on the air right now. Sorry about that. So welcome, Daniel. How's it going?
Good. I'm here to talk about my book and my other writing that has been published of late. I've sort of had a bumper crop.
I'm happy to say Fantastic Books sent me a copy. I just received it yesterday, and I was able to read most of it, not the whole thing. And I
won't spoil the ending.
No, please don't. The book is called...
I'm telling people the title.
Yeah, the book is called Father of the Bride of Frankenstein, and it's by Daniel M. Kimmel. And Daniel, tell us a little bit about the book.
Okay, well, the basically it's the mashup of the two titles that gave me the idea for the story. It's, if you know the movie Father of the Bride, whether the original with Spencer Tracy or the remake with Steve Martin, it's about a father being overwhelmed by wedding planning leading up to the big day. And, of course, Bride of Frankenstein is about the monster finding a bride. And so what I did in combining the two stories, and basically combining, I should say, the ideas for the two stories, I've set it in modern-day suburbia, where the narrator, the father, is an executive at a bank, and his daughter meets this person, Frank, who happens to be a reanimated corpse.
Mm-hmm.
And he... The people who were guilty of creating him have all gone to prison. That's all. That's like the prologue. That's besides the point. And it's basically now this monster, Frank, is making his way in the world and is now part of a university project in bioethics, where he meets Samantha, and they fall in love and decide to get married. And that's the setup for the novel.
Excellent. And I see in the back cover here it says, in 1818, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. In 1935, Elsa Lanchester was married to the monster. So did you go back and read up on The Bride of Frankenstein, the film? Because you are a film critic, and I know you appreciate great films.
Well, Bride of Frankenstein, the James Whale film, is the follow-up to Frankenstein. Boris Karloff, who played the monster, did three films, and those are the two key ones. And Bride of Frankenstein is a fascinating film. I think in many ways, I think it's superior to the original Frankenstein film, in that it has a lot of classic scenes. In fact, if you know Young Frankenstein, and I play on this in the novel, they play off of the scene where a blind man in the woods, sort of a hermit, meets the monster and isn't afraid of him because he can't see him. And it's and you get the sense in Bride of Frankenstein that the monster could be good, is sort of like lacking a moral center, and it's because everybody is treating him as a monster that he becomes a monster. And so that's I like that idea, and I play on that in the novel, and that he basically is a character who wants to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The famous thing with Elsa Lanchester as the bride of the monster, that crazy hairdo with the streaks running through it. And when I taught the film, because I taught college for about 25 years, I taught the film, and there was a student who came up with a question that was so insightful. I've been quoting it for years. I wish I could tell you the name of the student. I showed the film, and she goes, you know, at the end, now the big thing is they bring the bride to life, mm-hmm. and she looks at Dr. Frankenstein, and she's fine, and she looks at Dr. Pretorius, who's kind of creepy, but she's fine, and then she sees the monster and screams. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very famous scene in the movie.
Of course, yes.
And the student asked, how did this reanimated monster who has now, they say, has a clean brain, she has no memories or anything, how does she know that the monster is scary and is different from the two human scientists?
Right, and she's no bargain herself, is she now?
Right. She, like the monster, is a reanimated corpse, but the thing in the first film is that they've stolen a brain from some criminal or something, and that's why the monster goes berserk, and this time they're not going to make that mistake. And so the student wanted to know, how if she's got this blank brain, how does she know? Mm. And I said, that is such a wonderful question, and I don't have the answer, and the best I could come up with it was a bit of Jungian psychology, where he talked about archetypes that humans just have, buried deep within our brains that we're sort of born with. Mm-hmm. I said, other than that, there really is no explanation.
One question I have about The Bride of Frankenstein, the film, and then we'll go back to talking about your book. Do you know if the people who made The Bride of Frankenstein, the screenplay writers and the people involved in the play, did they ever get a sense, or did they think that that it would be camp, or were they going for drama and for a dramatic storyline? I mean, because now it's sort of campy, I mean, after all these years. But at the time, how was it supposed to play out?
Well, I think it was intended as a serious horror film, but mm-hmm. I'll recommend another movie in this context. A picture came out, I think, about 10 years ago called Gods and Monsters, which is about James Whale, mm-hmm. the director of the Frankenstein films and a few other of the Universal horror films. And he was a gay man in the 1930s. And so, some of that campiness may well have been intended as sort of like, a winking in-joke. But for the most part, I think the general audience is talking as it's a horror fest.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, those early Frankenstein films are amazing. I'm a big fan of those and the Dracula films, of course. I mean, isn't it true that Boris Karloff was such a giant star that in The Bride of Frankenstein the credits roll and it just says Karloff. Doesn't yes. say Boris. Isn't that shocking right. or amazing?
Yes, because
he was that big of a star.
Not so much that he was a big star. They were trying to make him mysterious,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until I guess some of his subsequent roles that the people got to realize Boris Karloff, which was the stage name for actually this very gentle British actor named William Henry Pratt.
That's his actual name, by the way, or no?
That was his actual name.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah, but he became Boris Karloff, mm-hmm. and played a lot of these monstrous roles. He would play the monster one more time in a film called Curse of Frankenstein, and then gave up the role, and had a fascinating career. Possibly things that your listeners may be most familiar with him, even beyond the monster movies, is he's the voice of the Grinch, mm-hmm. in the original TV cartoon.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right. And, of course, the film Targets, he has a wonderful role in that.
Oh, yes, indeed. Very, very good. Yes, that was his final role.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Peter Bogdanovich's first film as director.
I think you are correct, yes. Okay, well, back to the book. The book is called Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. It's out on Fantastic Books. And where can people find the book, Daniel?
Well, I'll start with they can come Monday night to Porter Square Books in Cambridge at 7 o'clock, where I'll be doing a reading and signing. So I know they definitely have it. Because Fantastic Books is a small press, most bookstores will not have the book. Although, if you have a favorite local bookstore, and please, let's support local bookstores, they will order it for you. It's easy enough for them to get it for you. Otherwise, you can go online, and it is carried at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and, you know, places like that.
I see. And you've written Jar Jar Binks Must Die.
Jar Jar Binks Must Die.
And yeah. Shh, It's a Secret and Time on My Hands. Is this your fourth novel?
No, well, Jar Jar Binks Must Die is a collection of essays.
Okay.
So this is my third novel.
Okay, I see.
And in fact, it's very interesting because for years I could not get arrested for my fiction. I just had no luck. And then over the last, I'd say no more than, maybe we're talking about 8 years, I've now had my third novel. I've had about 24 short stories. In fact, in the last month, I've had 3 short stories published. One in Amazing Stories, which is the revived magazine. One in a collection called Transcendent, which is a collection of stories that the theme is dreams. And the one that you may want me to explain, because I'll try. I'm in a collection that just came out called Release the Virgins.
All right. I mean, it's that's
okay. My publisher, Ian Randall Strock, and the editor of the volume, Mike Ventrella, and apparently some other people were at a science fiction convention. Often I'm with them, whatever convention it was not one that I was attending, but they were hanging out at the bar late Saturday night, and I believe the story is that one of them was talking about how he had worked in a biology lab where they were doing some experiment with fruit flies or something. In any case, the expression "release the virgins" came up in the conversation. And one of them said, you know, that would be an interesting idea for an anthology. And next thing, they started, I think it was a Kickstarter campaign to raise the money to pay the authors. And the idea in the collection, it's all science fiction, fantasy, horror, it's all genre stuff. But every author in it was told, you have to have the expression "release the virgins" somewhere in your story.
That sounds like a terrific challenge for any writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And without giving too much away, I set the story in the world of my first novel, It's a Secret, which is Hollywood. Because to me, "release the virgins" sounded more like, you know, a movie release.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
And so that's the direction I went in. But, you know, everybody had their own idea about how to do it. It's in my pile of books to read, and it looks like it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to reading the other stories in the collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are mighty prolific. It was only, I think, 2 years ago you released Time on My Hands. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. That's my time travel story. I love time travel stories. I've been a science fiction fan most of my life, and I love time travel stories. And the thing is, there are so many cliches in the genre, so many things. Oh, not this one again. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do a story where I'm going to use every last cliche that I can think of and just skewer it. And I had a lot of fun with it. The one of the things that I did, it's set on a college campus because it takes place over a day with a reporter interviewing a professor who's telling the story about his misadventures in time travel. And the campus that I know like the back of my hand is where I went as an undergraduate, which is the University of Rochester. And the year the book came out was the year of one of my college reunions. And I had the distinct pleasure of going back to my college and doing a reading and signing at the bookstore on campus.
Oh, that must have been wonderful. Yeah. Oh boy.
So I've been keeping busy. I'm still doing the movie reviews, but I'm really pleased because since I was a kid, I've wanted to make people laugh. I mean, this is something that your listeners should know. Most of my fiction is humorous. It's intentionally funny. There may be some things that will make you think. My mother read the book. She said, I don't know if I laughed. I got too caught up in the story. Well, that's my mother. But most people tell me they read it and they laugh out loud.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's the reaction I'm going for.
Yeah, Time on My Hands had a lot of funny moments. And like you said, it's a big send-up of the whole, you know, travel back in time and change the past, which will change the future, and all the different complications that develop. I mean, it's quite funny.
Yep.
So, you're going to be at Porter Square Books this Monday. And what time should folks get there if they want to see you and meet you?
7 o'clock. It's myself and another local author. We're both going to read a selection from our latest books, and then there'll be an opportunity to meet, greet, and have books signed.
Wonderful. Okay. The book is called Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. It's by Daniel M. Kimmel. It's K-I-M-M-E-L. Check it out.
No relation to Jimmy.
Really? No, but it's spelled the same way, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Daniel Kimmel is the author, and thank you very much for calling in. I really enjoyed talking to you, and good luck with the book. I hope it goes well at the bookstore. And again, it's Porter Square Books this Monday night. Do you want any last words, Daniel?
No. Thank you for having me, and I hope people will enjoy the book.
You got it. And remember the traditional Jewish saying, man plans and God laughs. Thank you, Daniel.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Daniel Kimmel, Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. Back to the music.
Well, I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Cause falling in love just makes me blue. Well, the music plays and you display your heart for me to see. I had a beer and now I hear you calling out for me. And I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Well, the room is crowded, there's people everywhere. Should I offer you a chair? Well, if you sit down with this old clown, I'll take that frown and break it. Before the evening's gone away, I think that we can make it. And I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Lonesome just like me. And it being late, you'd like some company. Well, now I've had two. I look at you and you look back at me. The guy you're with, he's up and split. The chair next to you's free. You don't fall in love with me. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. many things inside a man. These old tomcat feelings you don't understand. But I turn around to look at you, you light a cigarette. I wish I had the guts to bum one, but we've never met. And I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Now it's closing time, fading out. Last call for drinks, I'll have another stout. I turn around to look at you, you know where to be found. I search the place for your lost face, guess I'll have another round. I think that I just fell in love with you.
This is Dan Dennett, and you are tuned into WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM. Tufts Educational Radio.
Say so. Nico Hene Hene Noa Wichitan Tankimura Woraniko Woraniko Hene Hene Noa. What a spirit feeling springing round my head, makes me feel glad that I'm not dead. Wichitan Tankimura Woraniko Woraniko Hene Hene Noa.
course, that was the mighty Joe Jackson with Another World. And it's time for the rundown. On today's Acoustic Sailing, you heard the following selections. We started today's program off at 4 o'clock with Sleepy John Estes. We heard The Girl I Love, She Got Long Curly Hair from When the Sun Goes Down. Then it was Tom Waits from with the song called I Want You from The Early Years, Volume 2. Tom Waits was in there again with Looks Like I'm Up S Creek Again from The Early Years, Volume 1. Then it was Blind Willie McTell with Statesboro Blues from also When the Sun Goes Down. We heard a little bit of J.S. Bach, we heard a Sarabande, and then it was back to the Tom Waits music. We heard Hope That I Don't Fall in Love with You from The Early Years, Volume 2. And then we smashed through the Acoustic Sailing right about that time, and we heard Bob Mould with See a Little Light from Workbook. We heard Husker Du with Love Is All Around from, that's a single. The flip side of that is 8 Miles High, but that was Love Is All Around. And then it was Eleanor Friedberger with Everything from Mojo's The Best of 2018. Jim Pepper was in there with the Wichita Toe song, also known as Everything Is Everything. That was a top 100 hit on the Billboard charts. I think it hit number 70. And of course, Joe Jackson was in there with Another World from his wonderful record, Night and Day. I want to thank Daniel Kimmel for calling in and talking about his book, Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. And that's a new book. It's out on Fantastic Books, and he'll be speaking at the Porter Square Bookstore in Cambridge on Monday night. Go check him out and give him my regards. It's The Father of the Bride of Frankenstein by Daniel M. Kimmel. And like I said, he'll be at Porter Square Books on Monday. It's been a treat playing all this music for you. I hope you enjoyed it. A little bit of words of wisdom for you. This is something that Plato wrote/said. He wrote, caring about the happiness of others, we find our own. And to help the United States, where have you gone, Jerry Garcia? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. This is WMFO in Medford. We only have a couple more years of the Trump years. He's going to be long gone. I'm glad everyone's back to work, especially the federal workers. God bless you for hanging in there, and thank you for the work you do. You never should have been put out of work, but hey, that's how it goes sometime. And I hate to say it, but you're back, and he's not going to be back. I'm glad to say that. This is WMFO in Medford, and I'll see you all next week at 4 o'clock. I'll leave you with a Bevis Franz song called He'd Be a Diamond. This is WMFO Medford.
When the tape runs out, the music keeps playing. When the walls come down, it's still hard to cross. Still needs her.
story.